We have our own ways of thumbing our nose at the stupid world and the rest of the dumb religious world. We were ahead of all the rest of them. Been a long, long time we've been saying, don't take any contribution credit for your contributions to the Lord's work. Haven't we been telling you that?
Yes, sir.
Every so often I have somebody call and they go into a long, they think overly wise, dissertation on how they can be a better steward for God if they deduct that. They then will be able to give more. I'd much rather trust God to give you more so you can give more from what God has given you than giving more from what the government's given you. Now, we are perfectly entitled within our rights as a church to grant contribution receipts. We're in good standing with our denomination. The Gene Scott Evangelistic Association is, after almost 8 years, 7 or 8 years, fully qualified to grant contribution receipts to anyone who gives. And I've been saying for a long time, we can do it. And if you want it, okay. Having told you you shouldn't do it, we'll give it to you. 11:15. July 19th? No more. If you want it, you ain't going to get it. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, you know. And God has various ways in which he does his work. Nehemiah went to the king and asked him for help. But in the time of Ezra, they suggested that he take a loan from the king. He says, no deal. Lest they testify that our God is not able. Time, place for all things. We always have been right, I'm telling you. Not only is it true that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, the government that wants to be Lord will emulate all of those qualities. The government giveth and the government taketh away. Much more than the government giveth. We've been ahead of the crowd and reading the signs of the times and knowing that it is but a subtle trap of Satan to get the ministry that is the church that Jesus will build somehow desperate enough that it will become dependent upon government beneficence for its existence. This church not only has it taught it always, and 98% of our people practice it, we're just not going to do it anymore. We haven't been doing it anyway, but we're not going to do it for anybody. You know, well, I ain't going to give any more. Well, go to hell. Now, wait a minute. Now, I wasn't telling you to go to hell. I was describing that that'll probably be the result. Read the L.A. Times. Now, Lord, I sure wouldn't want to take a cruise around the world, Bob Shuler. mean, I could see him floating out on the deck of the ship. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Bob Schuller. But who gives a good diddly doo-ha how many relatives he hires? I mean, in my short life, the number of people who stabbed me in the back, if I had a bunch of kids that I could control, I'd put them in charge, too. What all that really translates into is Bob Schuller wants to run the show. Well, he should. I don't want to be even at his show, whether it was when it was a parking lot church or a glass church. The church is on the defensive. The world wants to cripple the church until there can be no strong leadership, thus no church. You show me a church run by a board and I'll show you a wreck. Moses had no trouble till he listened to his stupid father-in-law. His father-in-law said to him, "This is too much for you. Get you some help. Get some elders." And he listened to his stupid father-in-law. He should have figured a man that had the genes that produced Zipporah was not one to listen to. Of course, in this church, it takes a little biblical knowledge to figure out anything that I say. You study Moses. That becomes a wonderful text because most people don't read the context. What's with the text? All Moses had thereafter was trouble with those birds. Let me tell you what men in real big industry will tell you. Not management books. Management books were written by people who failed in management, and so the only way they could make a living was write a book about it. It's like people who fail in government. Look at the Watergate crowd. They get rich on their books. Wait till this Ranscan thing's finished. There'll be another bunch of books. Anybody that's big in industry will tell you, you can never get too big if you control two things, personnel and finance. You can delegate everything else, you control personnel and finance, you can never get too big. But in the church world, somebody smart enough to know that has to apologize for it. Jesus had 12 disciples. Which one went bad? The one that carried the bag, church treasurer. Now, if you truly believe God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and these are God's gifts and they're accountable to God, those that God has chosen and developed, God's going to supervise them. You say, well, what about the jerks we've heard now? What about Jim and Tammy? Well, what about them? Their sin is not the money they spent. It's fleeing the flock and turning it over to that jerk Falwell. Now, how many times have I told you that every great and wondrous blessing that God intended his people to have, Satan finds a way to get that particular thing abused until people get on the defensive about it, and wrong use produces no use. The gifts of the Spirit have been abused periodically from the Montanists until now, from the Corinthian church until now. And periodically they disappear. And that life in the Spirit that's essential for victorious living goes down the tube, and rules and creed and regulations take the place of the life of the Spirit. Satan knows exactly how to kill something. Healing, divine healing, one of the greatest benefits God intended for his people abused, exploited, disappears. Then it resurrects periodically, and the surest way to destroy it is to have some guy run off the mouth like Oral raising the dead. Doesn't matter what it is. Communion table. There's been more confusion and wars in the church over the nature of the communion table than probably any other doctrinal, liturgical function of God's people. Because it's a place of great blessing where everyone comes to get grace. And until I started lifting a voice these past few years, just about everybody in the evangelical frame was under the bondage of examine yourself and don't dare partake unless you are worthy to partake. Now, while Satan is getting ready to raise his powerful leader, Antichrist, he's found a few dumb jerks and is going to create a frame of reference where God can have no powerful leaders on this earth. Except the one that marries government, which is the false prophet. And you see it everywhere you turn. I have no truck with any of these birds. I'm not a TV evangelist. But what I hate them the most about is their gutless posturing to try to get approval of the world instead of saying, up your yin-yang with my $17 million building and try to chew it with your teeth until they wear out and then maybe it'll get to your gums. I ain't telling you nothing. All this posturing and apologizing and explaining where the money goes and getting on the defensive saying, well, you exist because of government contribution credit. You exist on tax deductible dollars. And these dumb, stupid preachers haven't got the gumption to say what business doesn't. There ain't any business that doesn't exist on tax deductible dollars. They just call them something different. Churches get the deduction on the front end. Other businesses get the deduction on the back end. That says something also, you know. Because churches are exempt by constitutional protection, they don't deduct their expenses from their income. Those who give to them deduct on the contribution side, and churches are exempt, not because of any gift from government, but because of what Jefferson said, there are certain rights like free speech you don't apologize for. Since when do we have to apologize for free speech? Free press you don't apologize for. Since when do we apologize for publishing a paper? The church is in the same amendment. And this government of this country was not allowed to come into existence until it recognized those rights and was taught early on to walk gingerly around them. Now there's a move abroad that says walk gingerly around all of them except religion. The price of free press is pornography. And the National Enquirer, the price of free speech is pornography. There is nothing that is the price of religion that matches the evil society has to pay for the existence of free speech and the existence of free press. Nothing that this society suffers, including Jim and Tammy Baker and idiot Falwell and all the rest of them, nothing this society has ever suffered at the hand of religion, including 600 dead in South America that wasn't the product of religion, was the product of a demented man who had turned on religion and become a communist, and they still try to dump that Jimmy Jones thing on religion. He was out of this country, and it wasn't a religious activity. Nothing that religion has done to society can even come close to the evil that society suffers as the price of free speech and the price of free press. So it's time they start getting on the defensive. It's time they start apologizing. Huh? Right. Because the price of religious freedom is association with a few nuts. It pains me greatly. But that's the price tag that's attached. And every one of these rights that make this country unique have such price tags attached. The tragedy is that the church world is overpopulated with such midget-minded cowards that they do not take these rights and stand on them and say, up yours, when somebody puts us on the defensive about our religious faith. These stupid cowards, no wonder I saw the average donation was $20 a year. Anybody gives me $20 a year and I find it out, your check ain't going to be cashed. I don't want anybody giving me $20 a year. You're the kind of person. You know, TV evangelists, if they were on the... Who was it said this? I like it. They were on the Titanic. Some people are so bad that they'd shove your mother out of the lifeboat and get in. But the real bad ones would shove their own mother out of the lifeboat and get in. People give only $20 a year to a church and shove their own mother out of a lifeboat and get in. That means you lived on $200 a year? Give me that miracle provision pot. You keep the 20. Too many cheapskates in the ministry. That's the problem and the price of religious freedom. Now, once again, I may be the only voice out there, but we are thumbing our nose at all of them. I don't want you giving except as a testimonial to the value of the teaching. And the reason I want you to give that way, I know how valuable it is. Yeah. You think I'm going to ride a bicycle to prove I'm humble? Your brains would sell for $7 million an ounce because of the number of you it would take to get an ounce. What do you do with the money? What do you normally do with money? You spend it. Now, while I'm saying that, our horse has won 53 ribbons this week. The Tuna Bar Boy. And as always, we'll be showing you some films of them. But I thought I'd make these speeches this morning because I want you all to know that your pastor is going to continue to be one voice that says, Satan, you're not going to win this one easily. The church, this church, is not going to be put on the defensive and parade its proof of legitimacy across the newspapers in some apologetic form so some jerk out there will say, okay, I'll send him $20 a year. My Bible tells me that the tithe belongs to the Lord. The tithes. And my Bible tells me in the Corinthian letter that the preacher of the gospel takes the place of the Levite in the Old Testament. And my Bible tells me that the Lord takes his tithe and says, I give it to the Levites. God puts himself in between the giver of the tithe and the preacher of the gospel to make sure that the preacher of the gospel stays independent of the crap that's being decimated in the world today. As though you, the giver, have some claim on the recipient. As though you, the giver, are the controller of the finances of God and have a right to call the recipient to account. As long as the tithe is in your hands, you are holding it as a trustee, and if you wait 1 week to pay it, past the time you receive it, you're a thief and a robber. Let's get the biblical terminology down pat. And if accountability is needed to enforce the way God's money is handled, then next Sunday morning we pick up from all of you and you who get your spiritual food from this house the last 10 years of your tax returns, or however long you've been eating at this spiritual table, and we check to see if the giving received equals the tithe claim on your income. Now, I have an idea the Lord wants to know how many times you dipped into his tithe. And the Bible says that if you borrowed from the tithe, which makes you a creditor rather than a thief, you pay back double. Now this 7%, 10% crap, he penalizes a little more than the IRS, though they're moving up. You say, are you serious? How many of you people know I'm dead serious? We better get this straight. Who's handling the Lord's money? Oh, but you, the preacher, you handle the Lord's money. Where do you get that kind of baloney? First book of the LA Times, page 14. I still believe we serve a God that opened up the earth and swallowed up Core and his criticizing band. I still believe we serve a God that smote Miriam with leprosy and made the whole camp of God suffer the consequences of doodling around while he gave mercy to her and eventually healed her. I still believe we worship a God that spoke through an apostle and said to an old broad, the hands that carried your husband out are right here to carry you out as she plopped dead for lying about her giving to God. You listen to the stupid world long enough. If you were of the world would love its own, but you're not of the world because I have chosen you out of the world, Jesus said. Let's talk about who's got the Lord's money. You have. You see, God, he don't have to keep piggy banks. He got real live pigs carrying it around. Well, I ain't a pig. Well, if you ain't paid your tithe, that's about as good a description as I could find for you. Get this straight. God doesn't need to carry money around. Bring me a glass of water, somebody. You understand that? What I'm saying must really need to be said, because the devil doesn't want it said. But he ain't won one of these yet, with my mother or me. You say you're preaching? No. Just talking. Exhorting might be the word. Amazing how we forget some basic truths because they're painful. You see, the Lord doesn't need to carry a satchel of money around. He don't even need a bank account. When he wants to make it, he can put it in a fish's mouth. He can speak and it'll come forth. He knows where his money is. His money is the tithe. The tithe is the Lord. Got that?
Yes, sir.
I think I'm going to beat this to death a while. I remember one time a few years ago when I got up to take an offering and the Lord took over. And I have a feeling that's what's happening right now. So, I don't like to argue with God. Argue with you any old day in the week. Not God. You want a pencil? The Lord knows where his money is. You got it. Clear?
Yes, sir.
You got it. These suspenders I'm wearing. I just... You know, this guy had a new Jaguar. Don't check me. Huh? Guy had a new Jaguar. These suspenders remind me of this. Guy had a new Jaguar. And a kid rolled up on a moped and stuck his nose right up against the window. And the guy rolled the window down. He says, "Man, what a car this is. Man, I've never seen anything like that." And he whipped in and smelt the new upholstery. "Wow!
And the guy with his Jaguar says, I'll show this kid on the moped. And he threw it in gear and raced out up to 110. He looked in the rearview mirror and he saw this speck way back there coming at him just like a bullet, and kept getting closer and whoa, right by. He said, that looked just like that kid on the moped. Disappeared off in the front and suddenly saw that speck coming back at him like that, getting bigger and bigger. Right by that time. Look, I believe it is that kid on that moped. He looks back in the rearview mirror and here comes that speck again. Bam! Hits him right in the back of the car. He gets out and says, it was the kid on the moped. He gets out and says, are you okay? He says, yeah. Checking his head. Anything I can do for you? He says, yeah. Unhook my suspenders from that side view mirror. I get the feeling that I'm going to go vroom, vroom, vroom. God knows where his money is, in case you thought I forgot. I mean, all these stupid shibboleths have got to change. If you were of the world would love his own. The Lord's money is the tithe. And it's his just so long as you have it. And you hold it when you get it until the next Lord's day and you pay it, or you're borrowing on it, or you're stealing it. So if we're going to talk about accountability, let's talk about it where it ought to be placed. And all this talk about churches not having to disclose anything is a bunch of bunk. In 1970, the exemption on churches engaging in unrelated business was lifted. Every one of these churches selling these things, like these stupid TV evangelists giving away their records for a love gift of not less than such and such. The government tomorrow could get permission from Washington and lift that particular church organization out of the pot and examine it to determine if it is engaging in unrelated business, not paying taxes. Every church in California has to file an annual report. Percentage of income from contributions, interest, deductions, other income. Tell them where you file your records and swear under penalty of perjury to those percentages of income, and the state has the right to come in if there is any source of income other than contributions and immediately audit to see if you're avoiding paying tax on unrelated business. My evangelistic association has to file an annual return, which is a public report. There is no church in America, and I have headed denominations, that is not subject any time the IRS sees activity it thinks is questionable. They can file with Washington and get a special right to examine that church immediately. And the only agency of government that by court case approval has the right to set a criteria to determine whether or not you meet the qualifications of a church is the IRS. That's why it took 7 years for the Evangelistic Association, called the Gene Scott Evangelistic Association, 7 years after it filed its application under Form 1023
of the Internal Revenue Code for its church exemption to receive a tentative exemption, which is normal to all such applications, and you then are under survey for 4 to 5 years to prove up the criteria where you move from foundation status to church status. And for that association, I don't want church status. I want foundation status. I like it where it's at. Now, how does that gel with the nonsense you keep reading that churches somehow are great mysteries that nobody can look at? Our church's records, when we were dealing with the government, was on file beyond any church in America. The only place that drew the line was the names and addresses of the donors. Wouldn't they love to be able, when I raise a voice of protest against the government, which is my absolute right, to petition your government for redress, wouldn't they like to be able to isolate instantly in their computer every supporter of Scott? News media is full of shinola. And they would somehow make this an attack on accountability. Well, to who? The Lord's money, He is the one you account to since it's His. Don't go account to my ex-wife if you have some of my money. Come account to me. That make sense?
Yes, sir.
Well, if it's the Lord's money we're talking about, whom do you account to? Now, what the current pressure is, those who give money to a church don't really care, except those who give $20 a year. Those that tithe don't care. Because if you know enough to tithe, you know what you're doing. It's the curious world out there that wants to know everything. Well, I have an idea that all of your neighbors would love to have a peephole into your house. That's that nature of man. But it's none of their business. We're never going to understand this business of accountability until we understand who. And you'll never understand who or whom until you get it straight whose money it is we're talking about. We're talking about the Lord's money. Well, that's what I said. You're handling it, Pastor. No, I ain't. I haven't handled the Lord's money in years. I get rid of the Lord's money as fast as it comes in my hands. And don't draw a conclusion too quick. The Lord's money is the tithe. That's it. And most of the tithes on any given week are still in your hands. And you're the accountable one.
Well, you're going to ask for our tax returns? No, I don't want to see them.
Because, see, I have enough faith in God to believe He'll take care of you if you rob Him. He has promised to curse you and curse everything you have. Now, how many years have I been saying to you, if you're going to be a Christian, be one? Why are you fiddling around with this stuff? If you don't know how to sin, should have been with me last night. What do you think these bags here are? That's teenage stuff. If you knew me well enough, you'd be too stunned to whistle. You see, I really believe in God. I believe that, having said what I've said, I believe the Lord was with me last night. And I don't really need to account to you. I never forgot he was around. And I believe that the Lord can police his money. What I don't like is this misunderstanding that the spotlight is on Pastor here. Uh-uh. God's angels who look out for God's cause know where his money is, and you got it. A lot of you are sitting on it right here today. How many of you got paid this month? Then you got some of God's money. Unless you got rid of it when you got your last paycheck. Lest I wish God would somehow deliver me completely from the word gift or contribution. The very word destroys Christian stewardship. You ain't given nothing. Let me try that on the bank. Well, I'm bringing you a gift today, my mortgage payment. Thank you very much. I'll put it in my pocket. File a notice of default on your mortgage because you obviously haven't paid. This is a gift. Did that go by too fast? Oh, no, wait a minute. That was just a way of speaking. I want this gift, I want it applied to reduce my principal. Then it ain't a gift, is it? Payment of just debt. Who don't like you talking that way about my hard-earned money? Just thank God he gave you the health to hard-earn it. He's collecting for that. Your right to live is based upon you not touching what he claims. That fundamentally is the meaning of that tree in the garden. God's right to say, hands off, friend. And eternal life and death revolves around the ability to recognize God has a right to say, keep your cotton-picking hands off that which I have said you stay off of. Now, that's how serious the tithe is. It's his. And you're the ones on the hot seat. I'm sorry that most of the dumb preachers in the land know so little about God's word that they don't even know this and probably have never tithed in their whole stupid life. The tithe is the Lord's. And you borrow from it, you're on dangerous ground. And you keep it, you are cursed. Now, a lot of people come to God like my aunt. Remember her? She loved the Bible. She could pick the ones parts she liked. Pretty soon you'd come across a verse and hit her. Right there's where I differ with the Bible. She didn't just differ, she differed. Anyway, that's an ugly way of differing. Since it's the... Let's get it straight. Okay, I paid my tithes, then now you're handling the Lord's money. Uh-uh. Okay, once in a while I find out I'm limited in power. Who has them? You. You have them.
Everything that the Lord gives you, the tithe portion of that is His.
What tithe?
Well, it's a tenth. What the word means.
Well, I don't like these $20 a year givers. Keep your money. Go to Shuler's church. Maybe one of those ten foil decorations will fall on you. By the way, I think the article said that they settled with his daughter-in-law for the price of silence. Isn't that what they were getting on Baker for? Oh, these stupid people. Let's just go back to fundamental Christianity. The Lord's tithe is what we're talking about. You have it. And you are immediately to, since it's the Lord's, put it where He says put it. Storehouse. Where you get your spiritual food. Now, you have fulfilled your stewardship. You haven't given anything. We're talking about gifts. You haven't given a thing. You got to keep... Let's just talk about the second tithe. You got to keep 90% of that which you earn. The tithe is God's 10%, and the steward understands you pay it when it's due, which is immediately upon receiving it. That's the Lord's. And He has said where He wants it. Well, I'm not sure that this place where I eat my spiritual food needs it. One of my cousins is building a church down in Honky Tonk Land. Then go there. Eat there. Don't eat at Chasen's, as I say many times. And pay at Jack in the Box. You pay where you eat. The criteria of deposit is where you eat. Galatians 6. The criteria, if you've been taught, share materially with the one that taught you. Literally, Galatians 6, as you've heard me teach 100 times, maybe 1,000, makes me the post box for eternal life deposits. If I teach you, Galatians 6 says, your ability to release the Holy Spirit to work a harvest of eternal life for you is based upon you transferring material things and good material things to the one who taught you. Well, what if he drives a Rolls Royce? It doesn't matter. I could drive one here in on this stage and sit in it, do a reverse of Shuler. A real drive-in church. I could drive in here in a Rolls Royce with a... We call those slide-back roofs? Huh? Whatever it is. And I could stand up and grin and say, bring the good things and drop them through the roof. The bag is not big enough that the ushers are carrying. I'm getting mad enough on this subject, I'm liable to do it if we could get through these doors. I mean, that beats a little old offering plate. Just drive a big Rolls Royce limousine in here with a slide roof that you can drop the offering in. I mean, that'll sort the manly givers. I mean, if you can walk up to that Rolls Royce and drop it through the slot roof, you're given for right reasons. If I raise my head through that slot of a Rolls Royce and teach you the words of eternal life, you don't pay any more attention to that Rolls Royce than the dust in the offering basket. You bring your offering and you drop it in that slot because that is the Lord's money and He told you to put it there. And if I teach out of 10 Rolls Royces, it is the teaching that deserves the response, not the vehicle that the teacher stands on. Let's get that straight. Well,
and I notice the newspapers love to put this in. Those who preach on TV see their preaching as the mission. They don't give much to charities. Now, they can't say that about us, because we probably have outstripped any church in America in giving to independent charities in our community. But we did it because we believe in it. And we don't have to apologize for what I'm about to say. The mission of this church is to teach. That's the only mission this church has. Your mission is to give the cup of cold water. Your mission, as I teach you, is to give to other charities. We are not a charity. And why doesn't the damn newspaper use its millions to feed the poor instead of trying to lay that trip on the church? Why? Why don't they pay their debt to society, if that's what it is, for the privilege of free press, by giving 10% of their gross income to charity every year and then deduct it off the top of all their executive salaries in addition? I didn't notice too many newspaper executives or television executives or newspaper commentators or television commentators giving $10,000 to the library. I'm tired of their blooming hypocrisy. As I said earlier, up there, whittledy-doo, with a Rolls-Royce limousine, shove sideways. You better have a church that can get its back up. Teach it right. The tithe goes to the storehouse. Well, I don't know, you know. Want to see some of these preachers doing? You ain't seen nothing. Sons of Eli, if Jim Baker had been an onlooker, he would have died with a stroke, watching what those birds did to the women that they got worked up emotionally, crying for Tom Hoos, and then dived on them when they weren't looking. You ain't seen nothing. Yet God never once stopped saying, all of you out there, you pay your tithe, I'll deal with these blooming Levites that are out of step. And He found their dad, old Eli, sitting on a stump or a log, said, I'll put up with you so long. Don't even remind me of what my promises was. In your case, I'm going to change. Walk. He fell off the log and broke his neck. I've already said this to you. Jesus said to the Pharisees concerning the tithe, this ye ought to have done. And that tithe went into the Corban of their temple. And if we treat mingled funds the way it's treated in accounting today, that very tithe fund, which Jesus said you ought to have given to, included
the 30 pieces of silver that they paid Judas to betray his Lord. Try that one on for size. Oh, you mean I'm supposed to pay tithe even to the place where they'll take the money and use it to pay Judas to deny our Lord? You're starting to get it. The widow that gave her two mites. Horrors! That was all she had. Do you know where her two mites went into? And Jesus commended her giving. Into the treasure of the temple, managed by those rats that brought about the crucifixion of Christ. You better get it straight. The giving is the depositing of God's money in the place where he says put it. It ain't yours. But I want to go over here and supervise it. The Holy Spirit went to work for you in heaven, and with his magnificent ability, the Holy Spirit's policing down here, and in good time he takes care of it. Well, what about this? This is the Lord's money. Now it's out of my hands. Who's going to take care of it? God? Well, what's he going to do? He's already said. He said, I give it to the Levites. Huh? Yep. And who are the Levites in the New Testament? Corinthian letter says preachers of the gospel. He gives that which you gave the storehouse, which was his. It's his, isn't it? He says, get it out of your hands and get it over here. Because I give it to the Levites. Well, no, don't give me all this, you know. Let's just cut through it short. Then it's still my money that this Levite's got. Okay, that's fine. I can supervise the Levite easier than I can supervise God, you know. I was trying to supervise God without him knowing it. But now the Levite's got it, I can go after him. What the Levite has is in the same position as what you got. The tithe of what the Levite has is the Lord's. The balance is the Levite's. And my Bible says in the Old Testament, he can do what he wants with it and not even feel guilty. Now, have you followed that all the way?
Yes,
sir. That means I'm not managing the Lord's money at all. The only Lord's money I manage is that 10% of what the Lord gives me, which is what you transferred belonging to him to the storehouse. Well, now, seems to me that there's something real dangerous here. Because if there's 10 of us, and one of you, the Levite, that seems fair. Because we each keep 9 parts, and you get one, and 10 of us means you get a total of 10 too. But you know, if there's 1,000 of us, you're liable to get rich. And now I'm getting you. I'm speaking for some of you Scrooges out there. Now you ought to really start worrying. Because God just might keep his word and bless these 1,000 of us till we can't contain it. Then the 10th will really get so big he really will get rich. We don't dare let God's word operate. You're already ahead of me, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
You see where the world is, what the world's trying to destroy? Well, I'm still worried about this Levite.
What in the world's going to happen if he gets out of step? Same thing will happen to him. It happens to you if you get out of step. Let's don't hear any more of this nonsense about the Lord's money and the pastor having to account for it. You and me better worry about paying the tithe on what we get, and we better recognize that belongs to the Lord, and we better get it out of our hot little hands just as fast as we can get it out of our hands, and we then better be glad it's gone and start turning our attention on what God's promised to give us when we turn loose of that. And let God worry about the Levites, because he's the one, if they don't deserve it, he's the dumb one that said in the first place, I give it to them, so it's his problem. You got that? Now, with that, I'm going to hook up my suspenders and zoom! Out of here. Wasn't exactly what I intended to preach today. But it's time that somebody tell the world the church is not a charity. It's an eating place that dispenses God's word. And it's got a fixed price. The price of eating, you pay your tithe on what God gives you to that place. And if you eat at my table, sitting on your buttocks there at home, this is where your tithe belongs. And you who bring the tithe have no claim on that tithe. You who bring the tithe have no business asking any question of the recipient. A man's gift maketh room for him. The gifts of God are without recall. If the gifted, domata is the word in the Greek, minister of the gospel, turns the light of the scripture on to you, you are the lucky one in that you're one of those kinds of soil that God destined to receive his word, and out of gratitude you tune in. The tithe belongs in this place. I've so convinced myself again of the truth of God's word, if I could get a jet in here with a slot in top, I'd move it in. Now, the accountable, you say, well, you going to check up on us? I'm still worried about that. No. God knows those that are faithful and those that aren't. He'll take care of you if you steal from him. He'll reward you if you pay him. You say, well, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. For better to starve to death tithing than starve to death robbing God. At least you got one up on the other side. And that money is the Lord. You put it where he says put it. Were you going to give me a financial statement? We just covered that. I ain't asking for your tax returns to prove that you've been paying tithe, Emma. And you're holding the Lord's money. That money, when it's given, the Lord says is mine. Right. And I can buy, well, can that mean you can buy a Rolls Royce with it? If I want to. If I want to. We understand each other?
Yes,
I don't want to have to do this again for at least a week. Now, will you get the Lord's money out of your pocket and imagine you're dropping it in a slotted roof of a Rolls Royce? And you don't want to drop pennies in a container like that. Comprenez-vous?
Yes, sir.
This wasn't the message I intended, but it'll do till another one comes along. This is the message. We're going to take the offering at the end. Don't anybody move. Don't you let them, L.A. cops, arrest anybody that leaves until the offering plate is passed. I have defined it adequately for you. If there's anybody in here holding tithes and not paying them, they're thieves and robbers. And that's your first business. Now, you stay. You stay in your seats until the offering's finished. And when the offering's finished and you see the ushers are done, you change the song from Storehouse Meat and start playing He Set Me Free, and they can go. Bye.
It shows by how you live. Do you have a mind to give, or is self-preservation your decision? Do you go to church on Sunday, then forget it all on Monday, or do you practice faith each and every day? Do you ever hesitate and bring it to me what you ought to pay? The old thing that you be came with you. Is it true? Once you understand?